Can't have nothing nice.
Why do you think I messed with your mind?
Because you're always complaining that I'm messing with yours.
Cheer up, sir. What's that called? Her fan ailment.
Excuse me, Kim. I have a bone to pick with you.
Oh, shit. What'd I do?
I want all of our listeners listening to know that I was left with people at a pool party. You told me you were going to pick me up at 3.
Poor latchkey baby.
Let me tell you,
feel bad
she
for
had, she sends Josh and I a text. Hey, guys, I have a coupon for Joanne.
Hey, I had to get
yarn. You left me with people at a pool party that I didn't get into a pool with because I don't like people.
I got an extra 25% off.
And those people probably pee in the pool.
Oh, you know. How many people do you see get up out of the pool and go inside?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
And listen, it was almost 90 degrees out. It was hot.
Hey, it was well worth it.
I got 15
skeins of yarn for $30. 15. I got enough for 3 projects.
Well, she texted us yesterday. And
I hope you make a
I'm
noose.
I'm going to leave about noon.
She's I know.
We'll meet at Shane's at 2.
I fully thought she was going to pick me up by 2 at the latest.
See, that's what 1:30. We agreed to, yeah.
I thought you wanted... You said that they were having the crap boil, so I figured you'd want to stay for a while. That's why I wasn't rushing.
No, it was
I'm not going to eat a lot.
It was around.
I'm going to go get into a pool.
1:30, and I started heading out here. And then you text, you're like, I'm on my way. I was like, well, I'm just going to get McDonald's.
No kidding.
Go sit in the AC.
And then I thought, okay, well, by 3, she'll be here at the latest. And then she's like, I'm at Joanne's. I got a coupon.
I got to
cut some out.
And I thought, what in the world is she doing?
Hey,
just going to abandon
me. No, see, it's not my fault. I tried to do a online order through their app, and their app kept screwing up, saying that it wasn't accepted, but it would charge my damn credit card. So I had no choice but to go to the store to use my 25% off coupon.
They just twisted your arm.
You know, it's
it
always
ended today.
Mothers Kim's age who never take responsibility. They're always, it is not my fault.
It's not my fault. I did nothing wrong. It's not my fault.
Those are lies and slander.
It's not my fault. Hey, everybody out there will be happy that I have stuff to make. Actually, I have enough stuff to make 2 more projects for our fans and to raffle off. But the other ones.
Your blanket today looks
personal.
It's coming along pretty nice.
Isn't it pretty?
What was that? 30 skeins of yarn for $20? Or
I got 15 for $30.
Okay,
yeah. They were like $1.88 a piece. And
what a deal.
Yeah, and they're normally like almost $5. So you better believe I'm going to make sure I get that. That's no right. Right? So basically, yes, I am going to make sure that I get my 25% off.
A king-size Butterfinger costs more than that.
You guys are going to be so proud of me.
Did you wipe your own butt?
So proud.
I'm so proud of you,
Let's
Kim, finally.
Not listen, it's believable, something actually achievable.
Oh, did I jump the gun? I'm so sorry, Kim.
I love your imagination, though.
I'm so sorry.
I had an eye doctor appointment on Monday.
Did you?
You're getting trifocals.
I am going to get trifocals.
Finally.
I'm going to be able to see you, my computer, and crochet all at the same time.
Oh, damn.
And not have to change my glasses.
Now, how big of your glasses going to reach to your forehead?
They are a little bit
it's
bigger
gonna
than this.
It's going to be one of them COVID face shield type things, or it's just one solid piece that encompasses the face.
I'm the worst about making a decision on my own. I have to have other people's input. And I wasn't sure what you were doing, so I called Emily, or I FaceTimed her, and I had 3 different pairs, and she's like, and I'm like,
well, there's nothing you can do about your face, Kim.
Cover it as much as possible.
Just get you a new mask.
So finally, I whittled it down and made my own damn decision, and they're blue. I'm
hoping
that they come in real soon.
Are they mystery ink blue?
No.
That would have been nice.
No, but that would have been cool. Well, because of my insurance, I could only get a certain...
You're lucky they paid for the lenses.
No kidding.
Actually,
we'll pay for
the
screws.
Yeah. Well, I paid for more. I did pay for a little bit of it because the lenses that they would have paid for didn't have the scratch protection on it. And with my dog, I have to have the scratch protection. So that cost me $130.
Oh, Jesus.
But they all cost $130.
Now, I get so annoyed with insurance. Like, I always feel like, oh, I have insurance. I can go to the doctor because I'm sick.
Get prescribed medicine.
Yeah.
Have insurance. Nope, you don't need it.
Yeah. Or, oh, well, now you have co-insurance and a deductible. And I'm just thinking, why do I even have this insurance that's coming out of my paycheck for? Look, if I have all this extra stuff, I got to pay.
So a while back, I went to a lady doctor, you know, for my checkup because I have to have two a year.
I don't know.
For the next 2 years.
She acts like we know if we have to go to a lady doctor.
2 a year for the next 2 years because of my cancer, you know. So I have to have two of those. So I had went to that doctor. I went to my normal doctor because I had a sinus infection. I keep getting a freaking thing saying, oh, you're overdue on your payments. And I'm like, no, I should not have any payments. My insurance should have covered it all. So I called them and they're like, oh, well, we didn't have the right insurance. I've changed the insurance five times.
I've gone through that with Walgreens before.
Yes.
Which they went out in our town. And I'm like, well, no wonder, because they could never change my insurance. Yeah. Every time I went to go pick up my medicine, they're like, okay, your bill's $200. And I'm thinking, no, it's not. Did you run this through my insurance? Well, no, your insurance said that you're no longer with them. And I'm thinking, every time I've been here, you tell me that I have no insurance. And every time I have to give you my new insurance
information. I wonder if that's a ploy of Walgreens. Because, you know, there's some elderly people that'll be like, I guess there must be something wrong.
I had to pay for one of mine. I guess there was some kind of a glitch in my insurance system. And so it kind of lost a bunch of people. So when I went to go pick up some medicine, you know, it was $10. And I'm like, did you run this through my insurance? And they looked and they're like, oh, no, they had a glitch. You're going to have to call them, blah, blah, blah. Well, I had to have that. And I'm like, $10, I paid it, you know. And because I didn't. Yeah, I know, right? So I didn't have it anymore. And so I called them. And I called the place that my doctor's places are, you know. And I said, look, I don't owe this bill. You can put it back in good standings and take it through my insurance.
Give me a correction. What did they do?
Yes, they did that on one.
Yeah.
Not the other one. So now I'm getting crap saying that that one's late. And I'm like, I'm going to have to call them again.
Yeah,
Tell them again.
I had a procedure and I think it was radiology. I can't remember, you know, you just get so many stuff done and then you just get bills out the wazoo. Well, I have, you know, like my chart or whatever, and it's through the app, and then they bill you, I pay it, whatever. It's easy peasy because it's like in an app, I see the bill, I pay it. Well, one day I get this bill in the mail and it's like, hey, you owe this bill. And I'm thinking, well, why didn't you just come run through this app and then I'll pay it through there? But okay, whatever, I'll pay it. So I paid it. And it was like a legit thing. I made sure that it was through the doctor's office, whatever. Well, one day I noticed that I had gotten this delinquency notice. And I thought, why not dang well? One, you didn't bill me through that app because I would have paid that immediately. Two,
it notifies you.
Yeah. And two, if you would have sent me a bill in the mail, I would have paid those. So then I call the place and they're like, oh, that's weird. We don't see that we actually sent you a bill. And you're not signed up for e-thing.
Who the hell's running this?
I know, that's what I said. It's out of Chicago.
Good God. I know.
And,
I have.
And they said, they, did you like talking?
Jeez.
Ken, this is not the right Ken Morrow show.
You want
to
bet?
You need to hush. And I said, look, if I pause, Kim, this is like, sometimes you're talking to people from other countries. And
would you just keep going?
No, listen, I'm on a tangent now, but I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but sometimes there's people that you're talking to from other countries. I can't remember which one it is. And like you pause for a moment to take a breath and they feel like, oh, they've taken a breath so I can like butt in. Sometimes when I'm talking to you, I feel like you don't let me finish my sentence. So you just need to hush up and let me finish. Anyway.
He's watched a lot of Medea.
Yes, I know.
That was straight up Medea. I will whop y'all out.
But anyway, so they were like, yeah, so we sent this to collection because you didn't pay it. And I was like, what do you mean you sent me to collections? And
didn't give me no letter, no nothing.
So I was like, okay, well, let me go grab my wallet and I'll pay it. And they're like, well. And the lady on the other phone was like, well. And I was like, well, what?
You
and she goes, you're
going
to have to call collections, the collection company, to pay it. And I was like, so you're telling me that you sent that bill to collections, and I'm going to have to call a third party to pay this stupid
without even notifying bill. You.
Yeah.
You know how many times that's happened to me?
Kim, I thought, okay, I'll let that one slide. I thought you were getting ready to go into, I thought you were getting ready to go to another story. I was going to pick up this radio and throw it at you.
I've already forgot what my story was going to be because you wouldn't let me interrupt you.
Good. But anyway, so I was like, all right, I'll call them. So then I call them. And then I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this when you've called a collection agency, but I call them and I think, okay, well, it's just a misunderstanding. But if you call these collection agencies, I'm sure everyone tells them that.
Oh, yeah. Probably.
So I call
it's
them.
Like in prison.
Yeah. I'm innocent. I don't know who that, where they found that body. I didn't do it. Yeah. Anyway, so I called and I was like, hi, there was a misunderstanding. That bill was never sent to me. Yeah. It got lost in the mail, whatever. And so the lady was like, I mean, it was a guy. The guy was like, all right, well, if you don't pay this right now, it's not going to come off your credit. And I was like, excuse me. And like by that point in time, I'm already heated because I was like, that bill. Works. Well, and I was like, that should never hit my credit. What are you talking about?
I didn't think they were allowed to do that to your credit anymore.
Well, and I think he was bluffing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think it's a law that cannot affect your credit score anymore.
So I was like, well, I'm happy to pay this $14.
Oh my God.
I know. I was like, sir, I'm happy to pay this $14.
I'll even pay $15. Go get you a stick of gum. You have
a juicy fruit. Right. You had a juicy.
You want to know something really funny?
Yeah, Kim, go ahead. I'm done.
There's a doctor's office out there that I owe 35 cents to. Something
they
like that.
To collections?
And they
the
still,
police are on their
and,
way now.
I mean, that's been years and years ago. Them.
I know that Kim Morrow.
You want her address and her bill?
No, it's been
give me $10.
Great number of years ago that I have owed them send me $35 cents.
Oh God!
And they still send me things every once in a while. They'll say, "Oh, you owe 35
in the mail."
Cents.
The stamp costs more. And I'm like,
write it off. It's 35 cents. At this point, it's a principal. It's like, seriously.
I ain't paying that 35 cents.
You're really going to hound me for years for 35 cents?
I'd go leave two quarters on the counter. Here.
I mean, this is from me.
At one moment, I'm thinking, Kim, why don't you just pay it? It's just 35 cents.
It's because I don't ever remember to.
In the other instance, this is one of your longest relationships.
That is true.
How many years has this been? 20-something?
She likes the correspondence
from
them.
No, it's been probably 5 or 6.
I mean, that's a good relationship. That's more than most relationships last
almost
now.
Her and Shane's whole friendship.
Oh, no, we've lasted longer than that.
They probably send her a Christmas card, and she likes the
birthday
card. I've sent
I got a birthday card.
There you go.
Yeah, they sent me a birthday card.
Happy birthday. Where's our money?
Where's my 35 cents? And I don't even think it's that much. I think it's more like 19, but I can't remember exactly how much it was.
Oh, my God.
I know it's under a dollar.
Well, this all just sounds awful.
No kidding.
I'm glad I don't have glasses.
Now I have another bone to pick with Kim.
Why is it always me you have
well,
a bone
you know,
to pick with?
If you
need a bone
if
so
you would
bad,
just not be a horrible person. So Kim texts Josh and I, and she's like, hey, can I have a senior picture?
Oh, yeah. Rich.
And that's exactly what I thought. I heard Josh's voice in my head thinking, rich. Kim's like, I got several pictures of me that I can use. Can I
still
have
haven't put those
senior
on Patreon.
Pictures of you guys?
I consider like, anything that was taken at the time you were a senior picture.
And I sent you the one that I have that's not even a professional photo.
Yeah, okay. It doesn't have to be a professional photo.
Mine ain't either. Mine's me a little tipsy on Lady Gaga night. About ready to go to the bars.
Meanwhile, Kim looked like she was having in the prime of her life.
Yeah.
Her little mullet. Uh-huh. Dorothy Spornak shoulder.
She's like, I got them all over
vest.
My house. You were just so privileged in that moment. Yeah. I just want you to realize that. I searched high and low to find a picture.
Yeah. Afterwards, I was like, well, when you had said something, I was like, yeah, I didn't really think
and
about
it. And that picture, someone sent it to me. A few years ago.
Really?
It was from the yearbook. Yeah. It was a picture of me from the yearbook.
Both mine and Shane's senior years were not very good years.
No.
She's like, can I have a picture of you from senior year? And I'm like, sure, if you can find it.
Good luck.
go searching.
I right. just don't think about it. I mean,
I meanwhile, she's just surrounded in her house by pictures of her I know. Her heyday.
My ass was broken in half of my senior year. I didn't want no pictures.
Kim's hair was broken in half. Oh, did you God see bless it? It? She was like,
hey. Not a drop of conditioner.
None.
Why would I use conditioner?
Because you're a woman and a person.
What year was
did
that?
Did they not have conditioner in what, the
when
80s?
I graduated and, yeah, my senior year? 87.
Oh, yeah. Josh and I weren't born yet.
Nope.
Yes, I know. I'm old.
I was just a twinkle and not even.
We weren't even thought of yet.
Oh, that's a. I mean, our mother was just graduating high school as well mm-hmm. at that time.
Yeah, me and your mom were the same age.
I know.
You waited a lot longer than she did to have kids, though.
I was 27 before Amber was born. We didn't think we could have any kids. We'd tried for many years, and
well, that's like grandma pregnancy compared to you know mm-hmm. the past. You know,
oh yeah.
Back in the day, if you didn't, most women had kids before they turned 20.
Right. My brother had four by the time he was 21.
That's nuts.
He started at 16. And he had four kids by the time he was 21.
Oh, thank God for making me get. Thank you. If I was a woman, I would have had three.
Well, they always say that, you know, women that have a hard time getting pregnant like that, some women, it's because they get so uptight about it. It really throws your system off. And I think that's what it was. I was so uptight about wanting to have a baby so bad and just messed my system completely up because we lived in a single wide trailer, a 2-bedroom single wide trailer. And at the time I got pregnant, we had custody of my niece and nephew. Mm-hmm. So we had two children plus the two adults in a 2-bedroom single wide trailer.
Your hormones and stress were just pregnant.
Yeah. I came up pregnant and I'm like, great. Where am I going to put a baby now?
You got to think fertile thoughts. That's right. Hard to say.
Growing older has been less mysterious ever since I started using Hormone Harmony to help with the symptoms of menopause. Between the sleepless nights, random hot flashes, mild mood swings, it was making it really difficult to focus, rest, and enjoy myself. Hormone Harmony has helped make traveling around with two young men in a mystery machine a lot more bearable. Hormone Harmony is not just for those of us suffering from menopause. Women who have symptoms of hormonal imbalances can benefit from Hormone Harmony. It has helped guide me through the mystery of menopause into a more harmonious journey through a natural process in each woman's life. The company behind Hormone Harmony, Happy Mammoth, advocates for women and helps them regain control of their hormones. With over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, more women are feeling more like themselves now more than ever. Thank you, Hormone Harmony, for unmasking the monster behind my menopause. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MYSTERY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MYSTERY for 15% off today.
Are you guys ready to get into our mystery today?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so today we are going to be talking about a documentary.
Another one.
That Josh found for us. So Josh, why don't you talk about how you found it and what exactly this documentary is?
Well, I found it just on previews I saw on one of the socials about on Hulu. It's called Mastermind with, is she a Dr. Ann Burgess?
Mm-hmm.
When I was telling her about to my friend, I kept saying Dr. Ruth. I was like, wait, no, another older woman I admire. But she is basically one of the first female FBI agents, which I loved, you know, go women, you're better. But
that's she right.
basically developed herself how we did and still track down serial killers, which I found fascinating. Her background, she was a nurse. She said back when she was younger as a woman, if you wanted to work, you could be a teacher, a nurse, or secretary. And she was like, well, I can ask people how they're feeling. So she went into nursing and she realized that she was one of the only nurses actually asking, you know, how are you feeling? The other ones were good nurses and healing people, but they didn't really seem to care about how do you feel? And with just that simple question, she's basically created a career and an FBI task force now out of just a simple question of How are you feeling?
She had part of the things to do with a profile, right? And she part of the people that come up with profiling systems?
Yes. She's one of the people who like was referenced for the Netflix show Mastermind, which I haven't seen, but I was refreshing myself on, and this morning I was on the YouTube. I was like, let's see what else there is about her. And I found her so fascinating. I love that a woman did it. Mm. And my God, like the stuff in the Hulu documentary just baffled me. A lot of it was around the time Kim was graduating from high mm-hmm. school and around when Shane and I were about to be born into the world. And it just the way that I didn't realize, because, you know, we were children and we weren't exposed to that type of information, but I didn't realize how bad the rape culture was. I mm-hmm. mean, it's still not the best, but it's a lot better. Like when she would go to the FBI and teach these male FBI agents in a room, like what rape is, and have, you know, not that, oh, every woman, they must have been asking for it. There's even what stuck to me the most was there's a clip of some mulleted FBI agent. And he was like being asked about rape and consent. And he was like, you mean to tell me if I'm with a woman and she starts screaming, no, no, stop. I ain't gonna stop. I had to pause it for a second. I was like, oh my, and he's an FBI agent. He's mm-hmm. probably a senator now, but good God. And that's what she was going to work in every single day in this mm-hmm. room where these men are not taking her seriously and thinking that her whole line of work is just bullcrap. That right. these women are, you know, what's the expression, crying wolf, and mm-hmm. that they were asking for it by the way they were dressed, and it wasn't until she actually showed them the women with bruises on their face and like what these women are actually going through and how it's changed their life. And then you start seeing some of the men with tears in their eyes. I think she probably used like the, imagine if it was your mother or your mm-hmm. sister or your daughter or your wife. Whereas before, I think their mentality was just like, oh, it's a woman. It's an object to oogle after, make you something to eat and bend over.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I admire her, not just for being one of the first women to do this and for what she did, but just I would have given up, you know, me personally, if I'm having to go in every single day where all these men are telling me that what I'm doing is just useless bullcrap, mm-hmm. that would take a beating on you.
Yeah, there would be a lot easier of jobs.
Yeah.
That probably would have paid more.
And I mean, she was good at nursing. She enjoyed it. It made her feel accomplished, but I feel like she's one of those people where this was like something she was like what she was put on the earth to do.
Mm.
And thanks to her work, we've been able to, during, you know, when she first started, find and capture killers and
serial
it's still
killers.
Used today mm-hmm. to find and capture just about everybody. You know, they use bits of her, what she came up with in a lot of aspects of the FBI.
Mm.
It's just so fascinating.
When I was sitting watching it, I've watched it twice because I just kept getting distracted. And
I did too.
And so I would watch it over and again. And the thing that really impressed me with her is how she got people, when she was doing interviews with people, how she got them to talk to them.
The drawing.
The drawings. And when she was talking to the one little girl, because her and her friend were out on a bike, and one of them, the guy came and tried to kidnap them both and only got away with one of them. When she was talking to the little girl that, you know, did not get kidnapped, it was just really amazing me how kind she was making sure that she wasn't leading questions that
yes.
the little girl actually, you know, had to tell her what happened. But she was pulling everything out of her. And I don't know. That one really caught me in the feels because she was just doing, it was amazing how she was treating children, you know, to get them to be able to get information out of them instead of going at them full force, you know, right. and them clamming up because they get scared.
FBI male agent, right. like that would be intimidating for anybody, mm-hmm. especially a child.
Yeah. So she really impressed me on that. And another thing I learned, see, when the Menendez brothers, when they killed their parents.
Yeah.
See, I would, do you remember, that was in the 80s, right?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure that was in the 80s. Yeah. So I was pretty young and I wasn't into that kind of stuff then. So I remember the case. I remember hearing about the case. And I remember them talking about that it was for monetary gain.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. And then I remember some very little about it being sexual abuse.
Because the papers don't want to release, especially back then, oh, gay, you know, sexual abuse in the family. Mm-hmm. Oh,
we can't put that on and, the paper. Well, not only that, but everybody didn't believe them either.
Right.
That it was sexual. And I was like,
the court of public opinion.
Yeah. So when I watched that portion of it, I feel bad for them. I think they got rooked. I think they way overcharged them for the abuse that they went through.
Mm.
I feel really bad for them.
I feel like if it was in today's time, they would have been put into like some kind of psychiatric, mm-hmm. like, you know, something different than what they got.
Yeah. They got it bad. I don't think they deserved. I mean, what they did was not right.
No.
But it's not like they did it for money. They were doing it as preservation of themselves, you know, because it was just horrible.
Well, and the trauma
horrible.
You go through as a child, you know, it doesn't come out till you're about 20s, 30s mm-hmm. years old. You know, it kind of just, your brain's just, I mean, it's a natural defense. It's like, oh, no, you can't handle this now. We'll save this for right. a little later. We'll wait till you know about taxes. And
yeah, I was really impressed with her. And I kept watching and I kept thinking, she's just a little old grandma.
Yeah.
How did she do all this? She just looks like a little grandma. That's
high
it.
Heels on.
Yeah.
So I ended up not watching it. And the reason was because I thought it would be good to have one of us not watch it so that I could be on the listener side and ask questions. So what I wanted to know from one of you guys is, what was the moment that she transitioned from nursing to kind of transitioning into that field? Because especially if she's going to start finding adversity when, you know, having all those men like coming up against her, what was that moment where she's transitioning into that?
It kind of fell on our lap, which I wish I could find, you know, something like that where, oh, I found my life's calling. It just kind of fell on my lap. When she was a nurse, she would work a lot with rape victims and sexual assault victims. And she was, you know, studied the psychology on that. And then she actually wrote at least one book. I can't remember if it was one or more books.
I think she wrote two.
About rape and survival and, you know, the mind of a rapist. And that's how the FBI found her. And they read her books and they were kind of, you know, they were like, she has something, something's happening here. You know, I think we could actually use her. And she mentions several times that you wouldn't think that she would be qualified for what she did when she started, but she said one of the things the FBI likes to do is to get people from as many different backgrounds as possible because, you know, that's different ways of thinking, different minds, different aspects, all going into solving these crimes. And just it all, you know, she started in nursing, had a connection with sexual assault survivors and victims, wrote a book, and then the FBI found her that way.
Wow.
I thought it was really cool also that they had her children on there. So her children could talk about what it was like being a child of a FBI agent, you know, going through all this. And
she's just a normal mom at home.
Yeah. And did you catch the one story that her son had told about her coming home one day and kissing him on the forehead?
Mm-hmm. Not that I remember.
One day she had been gone for several hours because she was working a case and it was of a serial killer. And she came home and he said, I remember seeing her come in the door and she had went into the backyard because that's where they were at. And she just walked straight over to him, didn't say a word to him or not, and kissed him on the forehead. And he looked at her and he says, well, mommy, what was that for? And she says, she told him that she was working a case of a very bad man. And he told them that the reason that he'd done the bad things that he did was because his mommy never kissed him on the forehead.
Mm.
And I had tears instant. I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
That was a very, very powerful thing for me.
Now, did you go over to Emily and kiss her on the forehead and tell her don't kill anybody?
No, I wasn't home.
She went home.
See Emily, you better kiss her on the forehead, tell her don't kill nobody.
I used to kiss Emily on the forehead all the time, okay, so she shouldn't need to do that. I thought it was
fascinating that she, just her courage, she sat in a room with some of the most horrific killers. Mm-hmm.
The first one was one of the Menendez brothers. Yeah, he was the very first one that she actually sat and spoke to in person. And she said that she was scared to death.
Who was the one she was in where, you know, it was a new department she was in, so they really didn't have procedures or rules set up in place for her protection. You know, they just didn't think about, I don't know how they didn't think about it, but she was interviewing a serial killer while he was in prison, and the guard just left her in the room. You know, they do like 30-minute rounds where they make the rounds around the prison, and she didn't even cross anybody's mind. You know, he just, oh, this is a normal thing, I'll leave you here, go make my rounds. And 10 minutes after he leaves, that killer looks at her and he's like, you know, by the time he gets back in 20 minutes, I could have your head on that table and I'd be king of this prison. Mm-hmm. And she had to sit there for 20 minutes,
no, you kidding,
know, just hoping that the serial killer doesn't get up and rip her head off. She's like, after that, policy was changed.
Yeah.
I was like, I would hope so.
No kidding.
Why did nobody think of that?
Right. Kidding.
Like, can I have at least a taser or a baseball bat or something? Bless her.
Yeah, she's quite an amazing
woman. I almost wonder if it kind of gave her an advantage when she was talking to these men who were serial killers, because, you know, already the FBI men are going to, you know, think of her as less, but so will these men.
Because most of them have that inflated ego.
Yeah. Like, but they're also going to think of her as less because she's a woman. So,
well,
you know,
I wonder though.
So these, Kim, I tell you, I swear I'm going to just take a squirt bottle and just squirt you like a dog every time you start interrupting me. But I just, you know, these serial killers always think that they are smarter than everyone else. Mm-hmm. So they always are trying to, you know, persuade you and overpower your mind. So for her to be a woman, especially in that moment, I just have a feeling that she could have just used that in her benefit.
Oh, she did, definitely. Because, you know, most of them were like, you're the type of person I prey upon. Like,
and she's little.
You're nothing.
You said,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, was she like a grandma size?
Well, I mean, she wasn't always an older woman.
Sure.
When she first started, she was, but she's always, you know, a petite, thin built woman. She always, every time I've seen her, she's always had her, you know, professional heels on, probably like a 2-3 inch heel, nothing too crazy.
Nothing too crazy.
I wonder if some of them, though, thought of her as a mother figure, too, and is why they were able to talk to her.
That's what I think a lot of them is. They were just, I think a lot of serial killers just want that, you know, want a hug from mommy. And I think that helped her, too, like, oh, a kind, sweet woman who's actually, you know, seems like she cares about what I'm thinking and saying. Although I think that played, I think all, you know, just a wheel of things that that she used to her benefits.
And in that moment, that would have been very strange because all of those people would have been used to dealing with men.
Yes.
Who were probably always very
stern,
tell us what you know.
And a lot of serial killers had dads who were like that, so it probably just made them, you know, shut down. I'm not gonna give you anything,
right,
dad?
Right. Yeah. So I'm sure that the serial killers, at least a lot of them, were more
open, especially
open. Yeah.
The Menendez brothers, the one that she interviewed, she said at first, you know, he would talk about anything under the sun. And she said that's one of the ways that she would get them to talk about. She said, if you get them talking about something that they enjoy and that they like, they'll talk to you about anything. Mm-hmm. And that's usually how she would begin her interviews. But she said anytime she would ask him, you know, something along the lines of what happened, he would just, you know, block it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had him start drawing, like, as they're talking about other things, he's drawing about the sexual assault that his dad put him through and his brother and that their mom knew and kept it hidden, and that's the reason that they killed both of their mm-hmm. parents.
Wow. They would, as they were drawing, she would pick up on different things that they were drawing, and then she would say, okay, why is this way, or why is it? And then that's how she figured out that they were so sexually abused.
I got you.
Like when he drew him and his dad was like this huge, overbearing person, and he drew himself a little tiny.
Mm-hmm. Real small.
Yeah. Mm. And like stuff like that, that would give her clues as to, okay, so, and I just found it so fascinating and just inspiring. Anytime anybody else would look at something that would be a disadvantage for her, she would spin it around and use it in her advantage. Mm. And I just.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm like, this lady, like, she needs all her flowers. Like, she just, I love a boss ass bitch. And that's what
she definitely was. Is.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go watch it now. Yeah, it's on Hulu, you said.
Yeah.
And it's called Mastermind. Okay. Mm-hmm. And how old is she now?
I honestly don't know.
Was she in her 70s?
She looks great. I mean, not that that has anything to do with anything, but like,
She reminds me
a lot of grandma. Like,
oh yeah,
frame wise, looks like she does her hair in pin curls still. And I think that's why, like, it's to when I saw the first preview for it, I'm like, this is like grandma in another life. I was like, I could see grandma going up to these serial killers and like, you think I'm scared of you? Uh-huh. Whoop your ass,
right? Call me Ethel one more time.
Right.
They, for a long time, they couldn't figure out why the Menendez brothers, why they brutalized their mother so bad. Mm. It's because she was allowing it to happen. Yeah. She knew what was going on and she was allowing it to happen. That's why they brutalized her so much. They said in the interviews and stuff, you couldn't even recognize who she was after the attacks because they shot her in the face, and I don't remember what else they did, but that was the reason why her attack was even more brutal than their dad's, is because she allowed it to happen.
Oh yeah,
she's 87 years old.
What?
Whoa!
Did not think that.
No, I did not. She was in her 70s.
Her. Yeah, she's
still working too.
Oh, is she English?
No,
She looks English.
She does. She's from that Dolly Parton generation. You work till you stop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, she's like the Dolly Parton of the FBI. I think that's probably why I was like, I love this. Like, yes, queen.
Yeah. Yeah, she looks really cool just in her photo. Yeah.
It was a really, really good show.
And the fact that...
very informative.
I just found, like, it was one of those things I never thought about. Like, oh, how'd they come up with how they hunt serial killers?
Mm.
Like, you know, you just think, oh, it just probably came together over, you know, all the years of the FBI. Right. Yeah. You never thought like
a bunch of these men.
One person actually sat down and was gifted and blessed enough to have a mind to be able to see things in the pattern that she did.
She was also the one that spoke with Bill Cosby's victims.
Oh.
And figured out that what they were telling was the truth. She was the one that done that.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Crazy. Bill. Ugh.
I know. And I think I loved Bill Cosby. I mean, I grew up with...
We all did.
Yeah, I grew up with... What was the name of that one TV show that he used to do?
The Cosby Show?
Yeah, The Cosby Show.
Oh, my God. I know I'm bad with names, but good God, is
what was that? Name. What was that Cosby show that he was on?
Bill
Josh?
Cosby, you know, the Cosby Show.
I love that show. I love that show. So when all of that originally came out, I was like, no,
not Ghost Dad.
Now they're lying.
Not the Pudding
they're
Pop.
They're lying.
You just don't want to believe it.
Yeah, you just don't want to believe it because you grew up with them.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, and also when it happens to a star like that, you have grown to believe their TV personality is them.
Right.
You know, just like when you see Larry the Cable Guy,
you believe that
is him.
Bob Saget. He is Danny Tanner.
Yeah. He was a dirty man.
He was the dirtiest. Boy. Yeah, he was the dirtiest stand-up comedy.
He makes me seem like a nun.
Yeah.
The first time I seen him do stand-up comedy, I was like, oh no, Danny Tanner would not do this.
This ain't Danny Tanner.
I could not watch him because he was so dirty.
Another one is Tim Taylor, Tim the Tool Man Taylor. Yeah. That guy is a dirty boy when he does his stand-up.
He was funny, though, when we went and seen him. He was
but
really good.
He is a lot different than he was on Tim the Tool Man Taylor show. I can't remember the name of that show.
Tool Time.
That one. But, yeah, so it's
I couldn't remember Cosby.
Well, it's not as easy as that one, Kim.
It wasn't called Tim Taylor
Yeah. Don't you even.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, so whenever you have a big TV personality, I mean, because The Cosby Show was so popular for so long, too.
One of my favorite actresses, Raven Simone.
I know, she was just a little girl for that.
Mm-hmm.
I love her.
Yeah, she's...
I follow her on all the socials.
Yeah.
I love watching, like, she just...
The girls used to
watch... Nothing she's ever done has been bad. No. That's a Raven.
Yeah, she's a very good actress.
The girls
I still use the, you're nasty.
You're nasty. Mm-hmm. Josh and I used to say that all the time.
You're nasty.
I say that to Kim all the time when she comes out of the bathroom. I'll go in there and be like, you're nasty. What you did in there, you're nasty.
Lord sees all and smells it. Smells it too.
Me too. I swear.
Well, tonight is our game night.
How excited are you guys?
Kim is staying the night at my house.
I'm so excited.
I would, but
Josh has a date with his.
It's Saturday.
Oh, you got a daddy date tonight?
Yes. And whenever I tell him to come over,
we have lots of games we're giving away. Mm-hmm. But if you can't make it to the game night,
dead to us.
We will. I know. Well, I don't know what else you got going on in your life.
Nothing as important
on
as
a
us,
Saturday
that's
night.
For sure.
But what we're doing is we're having a Zoom, so all of our patrons are joining us on Zoom. And we're going to have a lot of fun. We have lots of games planned out.
Zoom.
And we have lots of games we're giving away. We're giving away Kim's blanket.
We're giving away so much.
And Kim I forgot it.
I know. Kim had one job today.
I know.
Two jobs.
Get here on time and bring a blanket.
I know.
Couldn't do either one of them.
All she was
supposed to do was get her damn yarn, though.
Hey, at least I can crochet.
Priorities.
Yeah, I got enough to last me a while.
But anyway, we're going to have a lot of fun.
I brought all my favorite rocks I found in Michigan to show. I'm so excited.
That is exciting.
When I found one, I screamed a little because I researched what rocks to find. It's the one I wanted. And I found a small little chunk of it. And I was like, ah! It was last day, too. I was so excited.
That is so funny. All right, guys. We'll catch you on Unmasked.
Yeah.
But don't forget to follow us on all the social medias.
Mm-hmm. It's Mystery Inc.
Yeah. And on our website at itsmysteryinc.com.
Go get you some merch.
Yeah. We have all the merch. And you can find Unmasked on Patreon.
Screwed that up.
Are you going to be okay?
I screwed it up. I had to take it out.
And on Patreon, Kim also auctions off her blankets. So if you are enjoying seeing her blanket, she's probably going to auction that off pretty soon. Mm. But come join us on Unmasked.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see how soon it is.
Later than sooner.
This one might take me a little bit.
All right. Well, we'll catch you later.
Bye.